All right, good evening, everyone. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee on Wednesday, April 5th. And I'm Deb Crossley, Chair of the Committee, for the record, and I think everybody here knows that, and everybody here knows that Susan Albright is to my left, who is Vice Chair of the Committee, and Counselor from Ward 2, and Mark Laredo, Counselor from Ward 7, and Cheryl Lappin, Ward Counselor from Ward 8, and our Committee Clerk, Nadia Khan. We have a number of what I believe tonight will be fairly short items, and then our exciting part of the evening is about the roads program.
Only you, Deb, can describe public facilities exciting.
You know what?
I think the roads program.
I do.
I hope so, because, you know, we've got a long way to go. Okay, so first item up, and we'll invite the lovely woman from Aberforth to join us at this table. 49-17 is a petition for grant of location at Calden Pass. And I wonder, these are all in Ward 8. So I'm going to read them all into the record very briefly, and then we can pick them up as a batch. So 50-17 is a petition for grant of location at O'Rourke Pass, Hanson Road, and Callahan Pass. 51-17 is a petition for grant of location at Timson Pass, Sawmill, Brook Parkway. 52-17 is a petition for a grant of location at Sears Road and Suit Pass. 73-17 is the same petition for one at Osborne Pass, then Lucen Road, and 74-17 is a grant of location petition at Tinian Pass. No one from engineering is here today.
So I'll just mention
we're joined by our Commissioner of Public Works, Jim McGonigal, and in a moment we'll be joined by our engineering, John Dagley.
These were the ones who held last time. Why did it say held on here?
Held them all.
I just want to make sure.
Because there was some fellowship last time. There was an issue with the. It wasn't you who was with us last time.
No, there was actually another girl that was here.
Right.
I do know what happened.
Okay.
So I know.
Would you like to state your name and so forth?
Sure. My name is Marnie Schell, and I'm here on behalf of the Eversource Company.
Great.
So what happened the last time the chicken and butter showed up? And he was concerned about a sandhole that was being there. So our supervisor did go out the next day, and what he thought was to replace the cover because it was cracked. He saw the picture. When he actually went out there, it was also the bottom part of the sandhole was still there, which actually means you have to replace the whole sandhole, which means you actually have to do space. And we commented to say that the state law 3 days before we can actually go out there. So that's why it took 3 days to go out and fix it. When the big state was cleared, they were not needed to repair it.
Okay. We were really pleased to hear that it was taken care of. John, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about all the Eversource grant of locations in Ward 8. And in particular, that we held, there's a whole team of them. We held them because of the handhold that was broken. So Maureen was just explaining the replacement. And before we get into the individual petitions, so the issue with the fellow was that he had tried calling in to get this thing repaired directly over many months, and there was no response until we all came here looking for more grants of location. So there were a couple of concerns about the location of this thing. One being that it's very close to a pathway that gets plowed.
Correct.
But I don't know if that's what caused it to fail, and I don't know if it maybe should be so close to a pathway. It's on somebody's property, but it's just barely over the line, or it was. What do you know if it was?
So the one that was actually repaired, that we repaired, was actually at the beginning of what I would call the path.
On the path, not on a property? I thought it was on the property.
It was on the property.
Okay.
So the one,
The one at the end.
Okay, and then they did the one at the end. So the one at the end, the one that I'm talking about right now, was the one at the beginning of the path. That was also another one. Again, if customers have any problems getting in touch, I have no problem if they want to call, if John wants to call me. Again, I don't know what number that customer called and got no response. Usually you can call the number, the main number, and eventually it will get a work order started. Again, I don't have a problem. If the customer wants to know, you can give me a call if any people have any complaints.
The problem is they don't know to call us either.
Right.
They call you because it's your thing and they don't know to call us.
Well, it's not asking me, it's actually what they would call as the customer care. They keep the information and they're supposed to assign it to the correct department.
I guess that's what you're calling.
I could look into it. I don't know what they would call because these are recorded.
Well, we can't solve this here, but I guess there's just generally a concern that because the city, it isn't our job to deal with the gas company's infrastructure or the electric company's infrastructure. But we don't want people to be incapacitated in their neighborhoods or left with an unsafe condition. So, all right. So I read all those into the record. Would you like to present the particulars?
So the first petition, is on Hanson Road in Sheldon Park. So it's southerly from 459 West 12, the distance of about 39 feet of conduit. At Sheldon Park, it's at southerly from Hanson Road, distance of 501 feet of conduit, also twin cell, two manholes. These work orders are part of to replace the old underground system that is in the certain part of Maiden.
Okay.
Say that again, underground system, what?
So what it is there's an underground system out there right now. It's an old system.
Right.
Our engineers have looked at these areas in Newton, and they're actually the pathway. It's an old system that when they bury it, it's directly buried. They're just trying to be proactive. The conduit, manholes, and upgrade. So it's to improve the system out there.
We understood this was, I'm sorry, the original system from when the development was first established, so this equipment is past its useful life. Is that correct?
Correct. It's an old system.
But there have been some, they have done work here.
Correct. So if they have an outage, they have to go out. So now what they want to do is put conduit in so they can put the cable in. That way if something happened, they can pull the cable. But these old systems, when they're directly in the ground, if there's an outage, they have to keep digging until they find the fault. It's just an old system.
Yes, it is. So do you have to do it in the past? Is this where you have to do it there? Because we've had issues over the years of work being done in the past and not being, and not having it back to the original condition. And there are people and wheelchairs that use these paths.
So what happens when we come out to do the work, the contractor will go pull a street opening permit from the city, they'll get certain stipulations, when we go out and do the work, it is inspected by the city.
Okay, so you're adding manholes in the path?
Correct.
Cast iron covered manhole.
Can I ask you, ma'am?
Are you all set, Cheryl?
So why do you, or just out of some curiosity, but also some general concern, why do you need to add manholes for an existing system?
Because we're getting rid of the old system. We're going to put in a brand new system.
So what do you do with your old manholes?
Just disconnect.
But not...
Because not, we leave it there.
Why would you leave the old manholes there as opposed to getting rid of them?
They're actually new manholes. The other ones were the handholes. It's an old system. So they're going to put conduit, the white PVC pipe with the cable in it, and the manhole. Brand new system.
So they won't need to use that manhole anymore?
Or is the one manhole that's covered up, or is it?
Yes.
Right. Maybe the commissioner can answer the question.
Yes, that's counsel. The manhole now is doing damage. those will go away, and now we'll have regular manholes with cast iron covers, which is what we would really want, because we won't damage those during plowing off.
So the handholes, the grass goes over them, and they just...
Yeah, the handholes go away. Those boxes you saw that John had, the plastic fiberglass, those will go away.
And they'll sell it off and make it.
Yes.
You won't, to the passerby, you will not see where those old areas were, correct?
Correct. Well, now we'll just have round manhole covers.
That's what I wanted to
say. Maybe smaller, but there'll be the cast iron covers.
Okay.
It won't be near as much.
And it won't be in that location when you just fix one?
No.
So that'll go away?
It's a new location. Actually, the plan is right here with the new one for that.
I didn't see that. Is it attached to one of these other ones?
Yeah. Well, Eversource, is the one
that... Well, I'm looking at the Hanson Road one. I'm not...
What?
Oh, this is the Hanson.
So the Hanson one?
No, the Hanson Mass. Yeah, that one I don't have. So you're going to dig up the pathway.
So we're going to be on Hanson Road. We're going to come from Old Well.
I know, we don't have... I don't have... Oh. But it's just... That's good. Okay. Are you going to do all of these at the same time?
No.
When is this one going to be done?
As soon as it gets approved, and then
it's
done. And how long should it take?
Each one is different because there's more conduit in some are shorter lines, so each one will be different.
And is this, I'm sorry.
So you don't know how long this particular one
is? So the first one is going to be 2 manholes. And it's going to be about 500 feet of conduit. So again, this could take 2 weeks. It depends on weather, rain delays it. So again, that's just for that one.
And when you do this one, which manholes do you take out? Like you put two, you're putting 2 manholes in, and then...
Manhole.
So you said the handholes will be obsolete.
But they can't do that until we put them in the system.
So you have to put all of these in before you take those out.
In the system, and, yeah.
Can I just, so I think Commissioner helped explain it. And that's how you explain it. You put all the manholes in, you're done. You remove the handholes, you plant grass or whatever over wherever those handholes were, if they were in dirt. And you repave the path, is that the bottom line?
Yes.
Okay. And who repaves the path?
They do.
You do. And you inspect it, right? All right. All going to be done this summer? By the end of the summer?
I can't answer that again, depending on when we get the street opening.
Hopefully before the summer.
I know. I guess my concern is I understand it takes time, but I wouldn't want to see a path just torn up for months at a time.
Okay.
That's all.
Before the summer, these will all be done? No, I think.
So by the end of the summer, you think?
I'd have to check with that inspection. I can write now, you know.
Right.
You know, that's, you please comment on this, Cheryl, but these pathways are used by kids to walk to school and so on, right?
Yeah.
These pathways are used.
Well, not as much anymore, but I'm sorry, it's your word.
No, that's okay. I mean, they are used. The pathways are used. So,
well, the work clearly can't be done in the middle of the winter.
Right.
Is that right? So it has to be done in the
more dry.
Yeah.
But people use it in the summer, too.
Okay. So, come on in. So, don't you want to hear about underground electricity conduit?
Can I
have just one question. Yeah. So you just mentioned about getting the street permit.
So what happens is once it gets approved here, still going to run construction, they'll have to go to the city, obtain a street opening permit. The city determines the hours we work, the certain stipulations, police details, and all that.
Okay. Well, I think we're interested in moving this forward. John, does that just generally take very long?
Well, once we get the permit,
it's there to come over.
Okay.
So they could theoretically start, too.
Well, I mean, the road has been open for years ago.
Can I just ask, how do you do it? You don't dig it all up at once. You'll just do it piece by piece.
Right.
Okay. So you'll start one thing and then move on. Okay. Good.
Before they settle up the fishing question, maybe make sure the police are there. Maybe if I feel that I'll be trying to let it and we'll sure that we get a schedule and that, you know, all through the past for construction.
And you're not gonna, you're gonna do one of these and then you're gonna pave it? You're not gonna wait till they're all done before they're paved?
I'd have to check with the construction.
Okay, that's important because I mean, this could, there are several of these, this could take months.
I believe it's about 6 of them.
Okay, so just for clarification, yeah, all the paths are concrete, so we would require that all the concrete is poured by October 31st. That's not the case last fall, so it goes through the winter and the coming in the spring goes into the concrete. So we don't want the fall to affect concrete.
So if they're doing this work now, like on this first one, I would think that once they're done with the work, they would pour the concrete rather than wait until all of them are done and do it.
Ideally, it should be 90 days to allow the settlement to happen, and then they can do all the concrete all at once. That's something we could work out.
So then the paths will be used, will not be able to be traveled on?
No, they'll have to be gravel for this.
Will a wheelchair be able to get through there?
We can put it out and put big binder in there, that's
all. Put what?
We call it big binder for finer stone.
Like
crusher
one?
No, it's asphalt, but it's
fine
stone,
asphalt. Okay. And will wheelchair be able to traverse that?
Yeah. But the bottom line, if I'm hearing you, John, is that you get a proposal from Eversource and you manage, you oversee their work.
We inspect
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
As well as
not you personally, or who's the other?
Our division.
Okay. All right. So. Is there information that the community would need to have in terms of which this is a large area that's heavily used, so is there...
Yeah, pre-construction meetings, we always require the contractor of electric to notify the butters and the line that they're working in. So they'll send out letters. They'll also have sandwich boards on either end of the project limit that will tell you if you have any problems, contact the resource. I can phone them on the website to get project updates.
And is this a project? Is one of these a project, or is the whole thing a project?
That's up to Eversource to see if they're going to work it all together. You only get a better price if you work it everything together.
So I think it may warrant a community meeting. I mean, this is several paths. It's a large part of the pathway system.
So can John be in touch with you, Cheryl, when the petition comes, when the permit application is resolved? There you go. Great.
No, but is there an opportunity? I mean, instead of just notifying the butters?
We'll definitely notify the board of aldermen. We'll have the contractor of record on site with sandwich boards and even then with project information. And then we'll be passed out a week or two prior to the construction.
All right, well, I'd like to, could we get someone from Eversource, or I don't know if it's the city or Eversource, to come to a community meeting?
Yes, I think what happened the last time we actually did that, one of the construction supervisors came out, I believe, because there was an issue with the wheelchair.
Right.
And he did go out and he talked to the person. He'd be more than willing to come out.
So he could come out to a community meeting. Mm-hmm. And can we make this contingent upon a community meeting? And what kind of gravel?
Exactly.
Oh, but you said that in name.
Daisy Binder.
I like that. Daisy Binder. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So. Yes, contingent upon, or we put a condition on there can we say that after each section is done, they put this down, or is that not within our purview? It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that after 49, which one are we doing, 49 or 50?
We're going to do all of them at once.
Okay.
We don't know what order they're going to come in, but we know this is a continuous project. It represents the replacement of an entire system, and that it requires a construction management plan that is overseen by the city. Tim, did you want to?
We could put conditions on the permit that it must be ADA accessible at all times.
Perfect.
That way they'll have to put the binder down to every time they're done at the end of the
Okay.
Oh, all right.
We can put that condition on our approval, and then it will be clear that it needs to go on your
I may be wrong, I don't know, and it's gone. We condition the board orders, there's no way to enforce that. So if we have them condition the permit, then we can enforce that.
I may be wrong, but
council orders are really instructions to the city about they're really instructions to everyone about what we expect. But you're here, so we're also counting on you to.
We'll condition that permit to make sure it gets done.
Okay.
Great. If no one's ever going to go back and look at the board orders.
Okay. Okay. Great.
And also a community meeting.
We will add this also to our other monthly agenda for that. So we'll see that on that.
Great. When they figure out the whole project. Okay. All right.
So.
Move approval with serious conditions.
All right. All in favor? 4-0.
So you'll let me know when.
Thank you very much. It's probably really good for the community if this work is getting done. It sounds like we suffer increased power outages. So thank you very much for joining us. We have approval for the entire way. I read all of them into the record.
Okay, so we just covered them off.
Yes, was there something in particular you wanted to say about any of them? Okay.
Anything about any
of them? So, seeing there's no one here to speak on this particular item, I open and close the public hearing. All in favor? there we go. We voted it again. All right. Again, thank you for your time. Have a nice evening. All right. Lovely. Alex and the principal are here. I'm going to skip over 3617 and take up Zervis first. This is 255-14, Corinne 5. Would you like to join us?
Yep. This is from public school.
I've been working closely with the principal on this topic.
Excellent.
Successful, and that's a big job to do all this. Let me just read the item to the record. So this is his honor, Mayor, requesting an amendment to the Zervis Elementary School project budget included in the board order 255-14-4, approved December 1, 2014. To transfer the total amount of $232,931 from the owner's contingency to $179,356 to the furniture, fixtures, equipment line item, $35,305 to the computer equipment line item, and $18,270 to the moving line item. And we have some detail in our packet.
I'll do whatever you guys want. It worked for Angus, so I said don't reinvent the wheel, just put it all together, and I'm sure it's going to go to finance, so you get the same package, so someone will want to ask the question.
We're going to have all this stuff again, I have a question. Okay, so Alex Valcarce is joining us from Public Buildings, go.
Okay, so I'll give you the really high level, because there's a lot of numbers on here. The original budget, as you said, was approved in December of 2014. Mm-hmm. In that budget, we carried $600,000 for FF&E and $600,000 for technology. It was based on an MSBA formula of $1,200 per student in each category, and I rounded the 490 design enrollment to 500. So 500 times 1,200, that's got to $600,000 in each bucket. The reason we did that was because we were still working on Inger. We didn't have any hard numbers for Inger, so if I was going to invent a number, we just used the MSBA allowance, and then we would come back once we had it figured out. We did Inger in the fall of 2015, and then using those costs, escalated and going through and using the list, we came up with what we needed for the Zerba school. The great story is FF&E, so if you followed the formula, it would have become $815,000. This came in at $779,000. Cost per student, $2.50 less per student than it cost for the year. Bottom line. So we saved off inflation, we did really good. Technology. The technology budget, again, would have been about $679,000. Now the technology one isn't worth going to cost per student because it's a little trickier. We have to fit out the whole school. So every school gets its projector and all of the infrastructure and the network switches and all of that. But the initial enrollments we know are much lower. So you wouldn't buy extra laptops and iPads and have them sit around for 3 years before the enrollment grows and then the technology is changed. So with the school department, we sat, we analyzed, and we figured, okay, we sort of covered the first 3 years because it's about what the technology would be. And so the list is a summary list. Most of these items are sole source. They're proprietary, like they're Apple computers. You gotta buy from Apple. They're Cisco network switches. So they come from the state contract list. And then some things we'll bid. We'll get multiple prices and we'll get other quotes. But again, not fair to call it per student because you can't really divide by the 490. And if you divide by slightly lower enrollment than the numbers that are last, so it kind of doesn't make up a lot of sense. So suffice to say that we're good. We've been obviously ordering our stuff. Obviously, we only need a couple of bucks on the technology side. We need $179,000, but we're ordering all our long lead items now, and in particular, the library, because as some of you know, I have to get the Zervis library from Carr back to Zervis a little earlier so I can get the Cabot library out of Cabot to Carr at the beginning so I can demo the end of the building so we can go in and build our famous culvert. So all of these things are sort of lined up as dominoes. So that's the Zervis FF&E, and then the moving expense is $18,000 is money that we use for crates. So when we created the Inter moving budget and the Zervis moving budget, they were big time moving boxes, right? Then finally, midway through, we got a good deal on buying crates, so we split the cost between Inter and Zervis. Now, crates we use over and over again, so at the end of the day, we have an asset, and, you know, we can move things quickly. We moved both schools in the middle of the winter, worked out great. And the school department, and we've sort of, public buildings have them and they have their own. We use them to move the fire stations. And so it's a good asset. It actually works out really well. But now I'm $18,000 short to move the Zervis school back to Zervis. So that's it.
Got it. Do we have anything to add? No?
No.
Okay.
So. Tenor saxophones?
Yes.
Bell chimes?
Yep.
Bongo drums?
Instruments. Oh. Yep.
Cowbell, are all of these technology?
No, they're at that thing.
That's
part of the equipment. Furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So musical instruments fall under the equipment.
But don't they have that from the other schools?
They have some, but they obviously have more kids, so they
have. So it's for more kids?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
What's
poodle?
Yes. 5 ounces of poodle, 8 ounces of poodle.
I know what that is. Is it under the art section?
Probably. I don't know.
It's
small wares. It's something. It's something that they use in. I think it's kitchen small wares.
Yeah, the piano whip.
Bowling ball.
I don't know.
Right.
I feel like it's a
definitely out of spirit of moving fast.
Well, it's going to be great. The teachers have looked at this stuff and they're going to use it and it's going to be great.
If you have a chance, send me an email and tell me what poodle is.
What's the in the upper right hand
corner? 09.KS.0051.
It's in the very upper, it's in the 09?
Yeah.
It's in 09 and then it's what, KS or what's that? I don't know. I'll send you the answer.
Okay.
Julie will look it up.
I might need one. That's why I want to know.
You don't know what you need until you know what it is.
Okay.
All right, everybody knows this.
You had me at hello, so I'm...
This is like a reason.
Who would like to move in? All right, we have a motion to approve. All in favor? Thanks very much. You're off to finance.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you.
All right.
I think it's the best reason.
Furniture
and
parts. I don't
think
it's
tambourine.
It looks like I should
put
my kitchen in this one.
I'm
going to take up the peer review item last because it's very simple, and I told Alan he could take the night off, and we have other folks here. So I'm going to jump ahead. That's okay with everybody. To 92-17, ask the commissioner to join us. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $130,000 from DPW full-time salaries account to DPW transportation, electrical equipment, repairs, and maintenance account to fund costs associated with repair of traffic signals throughout the city.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This request is to ensure we have funds through the end of the year. Right now, we have about $45,000 left in this repair account. We've been seeing monthly averages of $25,000 to $40,000. This is for repair of signals, street lights, and it also includes the knockdowns. So the knockdowns, we quite often will see reimbursements for those, but it takes months. So again, we want to make sure, and when I was here last year, coming back for additional funds for transportation, I said we would never go into deficit fund spending again. So this is just to ensure that doesn't happen. We don't want to stop fixing streetlights. The knockdowns, we have to address right away. Usually it's a safety issue. We have a pole down. So it's something that we couldn't put off even if we wanted to. We just want to ensure we have the funds to do that. We've also started repairing those underground light issues, which ate up some of this funding. So again, we stopped that, and we want to ensure that we have funds. And if we get into the last month, we'll start that process again.
Mark?
So what was your budget for this initially?
$300,000.
And you need another 40%+ of that budget to do the work?
We're anticipating $130,000 worst case scenario.
Well, if you have $300,000 for the entire year, you're going to spend now almost $450,000. That's close to a 50% increase. Is your budget next year going to be different?
So we will increase the budget next year. We're going to propose that because also we want to make sure that we finish repairing these underground lights. As I said, we hadn't anticipated doing that. Going forward, we're going to do that as a capital project. We want to do a few to see what kind of funding we would need, what the costs were to do those also.
So you took what you anticipated being a capital project and put it in the operating budget?
Well, we did do some in the operating budget, yes.
And you're going to do more in the operating budget?
If we have additional funding at the end of the year, we'll continue to do that. Again, these are repairs, essentially.
I'm not quarreling with the work. I get it. I am thinking, though, about the budget, and we're taking money from staff. And I'm just, I mean, in prior years, was it consistently $300,000? We're now doing additional work?
We are doing additional work. Prior years, I don't want to speak to prior years because I don't think we had very
good. I'm fine with this, except I'm going to really urge you to be in the $400,000+ range for whatever your budget for this next year, because I think that's going to be more accurate rather than taking money out of salaries.
We're actually hoping that this number will start to go down. Also, as we replace our signals.
Actually, I wonder if I agree with you. I want to see money taken out of salaries and just. On the one hand, I think we'd like to hear an update, maybe not now, maybe wait till budget, on how staffing has worked out this year, because at one point you were moving quickly to replace a lot of unfilled positions, and I don't know where that stands. On the other hand, it does an update on the lighting, underground lighting project. I don't know what we want to call it. There were so many lights at one point, and for a long time, that were unconnected at the ground. So we've had, I forget the number,
60, 70?
Oh, well over that. It was near 100. We're down around the 50 mark now, 55, yeah. I believe.
So we have something like 8,600 streetlights in the city.
Yeah.
And so it's a small number, but it's important where it happens, and it's been years for some of them.
Yeah.
So, do we have a clear understanding now of what we're able to do to fix
that? Yeah, so that was part of the process, was also working with Eversource, because it goes back to where the power is. So Eversource had to confirm if it was their issue on the power or not. So again, this was part of our monthly meetings.
Right.
They brought quite a few of those back on, which is why this number initially came down. And then we have repaired a few on our own just to get an understanding of what this will cost to finish the project out.
And it's going to cost us, not Eversource?
The majority of these now are going to cost us. Eversource has addressed most of what they can do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Deb was raising the issue of the staff, that this money is coming out of salaries. Mm-hmm. So is this from turnover savings? Is this from...
This is salary savings, yes.
I understand that, so why? Why do we have so much in savings at the end of the year? Is it because we haven't hired people, or?
No, we've been hiring aggressively. I think last year when I was here, at one point we had 30 vacancies. The last I checked, we were down to like 15. We do have a regular turnover.
That's what I was
saying. We've had retirements this year. We've lost some employees this year. We had a hard year on the utilities division. But with that being said, we've made great headway in hiring. We are aggressively hiring.
Okay, that's good.
And we'll hear more about that at budget. So
I'll move approval.
You got it. All in favor? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now for the item 93-17, appropriation of $4,582,904 for the so-called accelerated roads program. And this is going to be done by taking $982,904 from parking meter receipts.
I know.
And $3,600,000 from free cash. Floor is yours.
Thank you. This is the first phase of our road paving program for this year. As you know, we're looking at spending $900 million per year to increase the PCI of our roads to get to an average of 80 on our arterials and at least 72 on the rest of our roads, residential roads. We put this out to bid. We received the bids on March 23rd. We received four bids. The construction estimate was $5.5 million. The bids came in between $3.875 and $5.6 million. So we had two very aggressive bidders. The second low bid was $4.1 million. So we were very happy with that. This should allow us to add some streets also at the end of the year because these prices came in as well as they did. We have the list of what we're doing. So this first phase is all just mill and overlay. So this will be a complete street scenario for these 6 miles of roads that we have listed.
So these numbers that are listed here, do they include other related work, sidewalks, curbs, etc.?
Yes, that's
but
the complete,
probably
the
not
complete street
okay.
scenario.
Cycling? Does that mean bike lanes will be there?
How complete?
These won't have bike lanes. We have identified, we're putting some additional funds, asking for additional funds in the budget this year to add a couple miles of bike lanes. Again, bike lanes need to be, you can't just go and paint lines. There's engineering that has to be done, planning. But this does include curbing, sidewalks, curb cuts, driveway aprons, signage along the street. So again, this is going to be a complete street.
Everything but trees and grass.
Yes, this will include the tree pits, and we're working with parks for the planting of the trees. So again, our plan is to have a tree every 50 feet opposite side of the street where it's possible. We're working closely with Mark Welch on each street to determine those areas and the size of the tree pit.
And before, I want to make sure that gas mains have been
cross-referenced,
that anywhere we have old cast iron lines, we're getting them replaced before we do street work?
Yes, so we vetted these streets with NGRID. So these streets have seen all the utility work that needs to be done. And we'll be doing that going forward. I mean, these major arterials that we're working on, or any streets we're doing the major work of, if we're doing a milling overlay or anything, full reclamation, we're going to ensure that those streets have had the utilities done, or they're not on the list within the next 5 years.
And if we so, I want to press on that just a little bit, because this issue is getting seized, as you know. So we'll be sure that not only are there no recorded gas leaks on the street, but there will, if it is a cast iron line, we're not going to pave until it's...
If it's leak-prone cast iron, as determined by NGRID, and again, we're at the mercy of NGRID. They've been very good with us so far. But again, I'm not saying that we may not see a leak, but we're working diligently with them to ensure that this doesn't happen. We've even put some streets off, because they said they're planning on doing that in the next 3 years. So we're sharing this list. We're going street by street with them on this.
Okay. Mark?
So water and sewer lines?
Water and sewer is controlled by us, so we have a very good handle on that also. Adam Street is a great example. It wasn't on NGRID's list, and we told them, we're going to be doing this complete street, and they decided, they moved that up on their list. They changed the entire gas main this winter, and they're finishing it up right now. It should be completed at the end of April.
And the trees that are getting planted are appropriate, so they're not going to crack the sidewalks in 10 years?
Yeah, so working with Mark Welch to ensure we have a different species of tree that won't grow that quickly or that large.
Well,
to ensure that. The other problem was...
What about 20 years? I mean, is there enough control so that the root growth in these trees, as they grow to height, do not cause the sidewalks to crack and buckle?
Right, that's the reason for the larger tree pits, which you'll be seeing. Because the trees didn't have enough nutrient area that the roots are able to access water, the roots go to the surface, so that's really assuming.
So, can I mention the bike lane that you talked about? Are those protected bike lanes?
Probably not.
Are we putting any protected bike lanes in the city?
We're not putting any on these.
No, no.
Wes Newton is going to get
some. Wes Newton is getting some protected bike lanes.
For what it's worth, I've said this before, if we're going to start paving bike lanes all over the place, I think that's a lousy idea, frankly, because I don't think it's particularly safe. If we're going to be doing it, we need to do it right and make them protected. I don't know what else to say about it. I do not think just paving is a safe alternative. In fact, I think it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. No, we're working closely with Nicole on that, again.
So these streets, when you talk about bike lanes, are we just going to be putting... lines down and say there's a bike lane?
These streets don't have bike lanes.
At all. Okay.
You just go with the traffic. Nicole, you're welcome to join us, by the
way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone knows Nicole by now.
Yeah. Nicole is the recognized expert on
all things bike, yeah.
The 2.5 miles that we're planning on going in FY18 is most likely to be standard bike lanes. And part, quite frankly, is we want to pick off some of the lower hanging fruit first and build public support. It takes a while to get the public to understand what bike lanes are and get them to support it.
And if we go right in and we say we're starting with protected bike lanes, which require another 6 feet over a standard bike lane, that means that we're moving parking on both sides of the street. Right now, for most of the ones I've looked at, you still have to consolidate parking onto one side of the street. But those are different levels of public support that you need.
So we have some areas of low-hanging fruit which we want to go after first.
What you're saying, though, is we don't have room to build protected bike lanes, keep parking, and allow for through traffic.
Nope.
Anywhere.
Your choice is to either move a travel lane or remove parking in pretty much every case. One of the easiest is Watertown Street.
Washington Street?
No, Watertown is actually one of the easier ones, but even that still has consolidation.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
No.
So, could you put a protected bike lane in if you remove parking?
If you remove parking on one side, you only get 7 feet, so it depends on the width of the road. The ones I looked at that I think, we can get done in the 12-month period, once you start going protected, you're looking at more than 12 months, no matter what.
I think there's a huge dilemma for you, frankly. I don't think it's something that's solved, necessarily solved.
Yeah.
You're stuck with the configuration of the city streets and sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why. I think we'll all come out different places on the parking lot.
Yeah.
And whether you trade that off for bike lanes. I just remain very, very concerned about putting bike lanes in places where there's really not enough room for them.
There's definitely room. There's national standards. They've been tested, many, many, many times over. So a standard non-protected bike lane is 5 feet, and that can go sit against the parking lot and sit against the curb. In the best of the best cities in the U.S., you're always going to have, a mix of bike facilities in your city. So you're going to have protected bike lanes and no bike paths, and you're going to have standard bike lanes. But I can guarantee if we go in right now and we say, we're going to take out all of the parking, all the travel lanes.
I'm not suggesting that.
I think where we are, we're actually doing very, very well in our plan because, we've got West Newton, there's obviously big discussion that you read about in the paper on Needham Street. One of the big projects that we're looking for in the CIP is Washington Street from West Newton to Newton Corner. And as part of the reconstruction, one of the things we seriously look at there is protected bike lanes. And it's a very nice one.
Do you want to follow up on that for a second? It seems to me we have a lot of material to cover when we get to budget on the CIP, and I don't know if that's the right time to do it or if it can be integrated, but you have only been here for a few months, but it would be interesting for us to learn about how you're planning to approach making the city more bicycle friendly.
Yeah.
How do you determine what is low-hanging fruit? How do you define that? How do you recognize an area that has more or less opportunity for safe bike travel?
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you share the road? Those kinds of things. When do you make somebody dismount and walk a bike on a sidewalk because it's too dangerous? I would personally love to see that, you all are thinking along those lines and how you're thinking. And wherever you are in the process doesn't matter because I think it would be helpful. I think you can tell from the questions that it would be helpful for us to understand how we move ahead on this, how we connect it up.
We could definitely put something together and maybe I look to all of you to tell me what the most appropriate time is.
Well, the 2.5 miles you're proposing for the CIP would be good to have at least by then an explanation of how you determine those 2.5 miles. So maybe the framework of a presentation is ready by then. That would be great.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
let's go ahead and
do it.
Okay, so I'm going to go, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Couple of questions. So that's $4.5 million. Well, I know it's a budget question, but we planned on doing 9, right?
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, so we'll be coming back. This is to get us, to allow us to do all this work we really want to start as soon as possible.
Right.
That's allowing us to get us going before June 30th.
And do you think it's going to be in the budget, $9 million, realistically? Or are we bonding it, or what?
We'll be bonding some of it.
We'll be bonding some of it. Okay, that should be interesting, because it's a great idea and a great plan. It's a lot of money to come up with, so it'd be good to know. I'm fine with this. Just on the bike lane thing, I drove here down Beacon Street near Grant, which is just the most ridiculous, counterintuitive, and I know you've changed it and tried to make it better, but it's crazy. I was, however, somewhere recently where there was green. I don't know if it was in Newton, but green taken on the bike lane, which made it so much clearer what it was. And I understand this is a shared part. Was it tender? It made so much sense.
There's green in Brooklyn, Cambridge, Somerville, and Boston.
The green makes sense because then you, as a car, you stay away from it and the bike stays in the lane.
The best practice for the green is to use it at conflict points, so usually through intersections. But one of the lessons learned from Copenhagen is you typically don't want to have green through your entire bike lane because you sort of like sign clutter, you undermine the power of it. So if you have a tough intersection and you really want to highlight bikes are here, you put the green through it.
So that's
probably how you saw it applied. Absolutely.
So that wouldn't go for Beacon and Grant because it's shared, is that
right? No, you could do it right through that intersection if you wanted to. What you wouldn't do is you wouldn't have an entire length of the stem.
Because it's still very confusing. And you have the Needham Street. I thought the bikes were not part of the delay of Needham Street.
They're not.
Well, and I also thought that there's absolutely no room for bike lanes on Needham Street because we barely have enough room for 2.5 lanes.
We know barely more than like everyone else knows from the newspaper articles, so we're getting more.
When you mentioned Needham Street, what did you mean by that?
The plan that they presented to us months ago does have 6-foot bike lanes. They may do more, they may do 6-foot.
Where? Because we would have had to
die. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right.
I know, but we ought to, you know what, we have our director of transportation here, and I know it's on our agenda, but we ought to have you be weighing in on that. Is your professional judgment that safe?
Well, we need to get more information, to be honest, from NASA. I'm not really.
But we've sat at the table. We had plans.
We've driven
Needham
Street. All right, we're gonna raise it.
You were there.
We've driven our Needham Street. It's not, you know.
Yes.
The mayor and several group of people, we went to DOT last week.
Yeah.
To testify.
I went, Ryan Yates was there, the mayor and I, and Nicole, actually the mayor, Nicole, and I made our case, and Needham was there, and they made the case too for moving ahead with the project. It seemed to me that the notion of interjecting the possibility of modifying the design of the bike lanes was a decoy. And they may still look at it, but it was certainly a decoy. They're behind schedule anyway. They said later that they looked at their 75% design and they're just not ready. So they're going to.
It's only been 20 years.
They're going to be. It's probably going to be a 6-month delay, as it was described. According to the Observer, who said. We just want to get information straight, right, from memory. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it is not on the agenda, however. So I'm gonna. If you're
that girl,
other than that,
yeah,
you can.
Okay.
So Susan,
I just have 2 quick questions. I thought we were gonna do the last piece of Lowell Ave. It's on there. You know that was done in chunks. Two chunks are done, and I thought we were gonna do the last.
The last piece of Lowell Ave.
Between Washington Street and Watertown Street. I think that's the chunk that wasn't done, and I heard it was supposed to be done this summer.
I'll have to check the conflict from
It's just the concrete overlay. It's the same way the rest of the road used to be. I remember hearing that last time it could be done.
Okay, there may be utility conflicts. Let me check. That may have been the reason why. Because we have moved some streets around.
Okay.
And we'll continue to do that. That's going to happen.
Okay. Well, maybe we can find out.
Okay.
The other question was, what, a couple of years back when I was walking around the city, I think it's in Ward 6, it's Rock Ridge, it's Smeaton Islands, it's right near where Rodney Barker is. That street was the worst torn up street I've ever seen in my life. And I expected it to be on a list at some point since 2015. And I, at that time, I don't know if it was you or who, Shane, I don't remember who, they filled in a huge pothole, at least a couple of them. But that road was horrible, and I can't believe it's not on the list at all. I can't, is Rock Ridge, does anybody know? I mean, I will find out if that's, if it's Rockwood or Rockland.
If you can let me know which one it is, and I'll...
Rockwood? Rockwood, it might be. It's near
Rodney
Hall?
No.
Okay. It's in Newton Highlands.
Rock Ridge or Rockwood?
I will find the name of the street in Venice. Those people deserve a medal for living on that street.
It's not a private way.
No.
And unfortunately, we have many streets like that. So that's where we really have to. This is why we did street scan to get, a totally objective look at all of this and get a plan going forward. But on the other hand, there are streets like that that will be way down on our list. So our thought was, and we need to vet this out, is that at the end of the year we have additional funds, we start going to the bottom of our list and start hitting those worst streets that are years out because they're off the beaten path.
Right, well, I can see these are all main streets.
Right, which desperately means, we need to get ahead of that. So these first few years, that's what you're going to see.
It's a pity because all these side streets that people have to put up with are just a mess.
So I'm looking at the 2018 CIP,
yeah.
And Lowell Ave is first on the list at $1,080,000.
Okay.
So
we may have moved that to utilities. It was happened. And again, the concrete overlays are another issue also because it's about $1 million a quarter mile.
I know.
Do we pave a couple miles of street or do we do a quarter mile? So it's that balance that we're really looking at there because they all need attention and we know that. It's just trying to balance this the best we can.
It'd be nice to get the street, that street done. I mean,
So there's a whole lot more streets on the CIP for 2018 and what you're doing is you're starting early on the 2018 CIP with this money and we're going to see another $4 million request at some point. And the list may change, but for example, I don't see Greenwood on the list.
Right, and that list was put together even before we completed street scan. This is why everyone's asking for the 5-year projection of paving, and I'm very leery of doing that because I don't want to get people's hopes up. I was on the list, and you're right, you were.
I know. So are we going to get an amended list of streets for the year, for 2018?
Yes. Okay. So this is our million overlay contract, which we just received back. We wanted to get this in front of you because this is a large portion of our work.
Yeah.
A maintenance contract, which we talked about, the micro-surfacing, the crack sealing, the cave sealing, the other maintenance products that we're going to be doing, we'll be touching approximately another 36 miles of road with that process. Once we have those bids in and we know how much we can do, then we'll do the same thing. We'll supply that list. We'll also map all this. As you see, we have these going forward.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll do is each year we'll give a complete city map with a color code of what we did where. So this is a totally transparent process. We'll know where every dollar went.
Color coded by year completed
or something? I'm sorry?
Color coded by year completed? Whole city map?
Yeah.
Something like the way we do sewers?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
All right. So you did the street scan and got the whole PCI for the entire city. Where is that document beside?
It's really just an Excel spreadsheet at this point, but that we have that. I'm going to make that available. We wanted to do this all as a package.
I think it'd be helpful to make it available so folks can
because I'm getting calls all the time.
Can look and say, my street's at 25
Just be prepared, because there's a lot of those. So people are going to say, you're telling me I'm not even on the five-year list.
You know, for what it's worth, I understand, you know, the complete tension, I think you've got to work, I share Susan's observation, you've got to work somewhat from the bottom up, or you literally will never get to those really horrible streets. And I think, you know, for the, even if it's a relatively small number of folks, it's just not a good idea to be. You can't let people out and be driving like they're, you know, or the fourth world country.
No, and that's why we're looking at doing that, because I put myself in their shoes. If I was living on that street,
year after year,
and
it is Rockledge.
So I'm not going to advocate personally for any particular street. I think that's your job, but.
No,
this
school, I mean, it's not my ward, but
I'm getting the hard time. Well, I can
look
and see where it stands
on the list. Trowbridge.
Well, Trowbridge is private.
Yeah, that's a private way.
It's a public way for part of it, and then it
goes
in
private. It's a ravine. It's a private way. It's my understanding.
What is?
Trowbridge.
Yeah.
A portion of Trowbridge is private.
Yeah.
It's like driving down a ravine.
It's a private ravine.
All right. So, my next question is really more of a finance question, but it's great to have $3 million in free cash, but how much do we have in free cash, and where would this money have gone last year, and why is it going to, why do we have it for the roads this year?
That's a finance question.
That's
you ask that?
Oh, I always do.
I honestly couldn't answer that for you.
The parking meters is the same. I mean,
I know, parking meter receipts go somewhere else.
My concern.
Right.
There's no revenue source for it, and clearly this is money that would have gone somewhere else. So what's it being taken away?
The next mayor is going to be challenged to figure out how to build this into the next 9 years after this year.
Well, and $4 million is going to go somewhere else. Where was it going?
Right.
We wound up with a hefty amount of free cash.
We did, because of
not sure why.
Bond sales and a few things.
So there are things that you can't count on replicating.
No.
It's a good project.
Okay.
It's troubling.
12 years of the mission.
It's all the end of here. I got it all taken apart. I'm getting there. Okay.
I wasn't sure if you really wanted to.
Oh, I do. I took my agenda apart. Okay. 94-17 has honored the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $1,400,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding the Dedham and the Hinton Street intersection and the Dedham Brookline and Carlson Street intersection realignment and traffic signalization. Yay.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll start, Nicole. This is actually one of Nicole's, I think, the first project you've had from the beginning, is it?
From that one, okay.
So again, this is one of the intersections we're identified many years ago as one of the dangerous areas. It's in the top 5% in the Boston metropolitan area of worst crash areas. So this desperately needed some attention. We saw some accidents there this year with college students coming out of Mount Ida. So this project is going to address a few issues. It's going to address signalization. The signals will now be coordinated through Dedham and Hinton and Dedham Brookline. We're also going to align that intersection now, which is currently offset with Carlson and Brookline. Increase pedestrian safety throughout the corridor. Again, we're not going to be able to address traffic issues the way we would like to. We're limited in what we can do there. But again, it's really about safety and improving the flow through that corridor. The package in here on our presentation, we've had two public meetings, I think very successful so far, and the project is scheduled. We're going to try for 100% completion by the end of this calendar year, but will be at least substantial completion by the end of this calendar year if everything stays on track. There will be some property takings, but it's actually Mount Ida may want that it will be an easement which is agreeable to on both sides between the city and Mount Ida to help align this intersection. And they have been working with us on this, and I'm looking forward to the project also. We've met with them separately even before going to the public to ensure we could do this and everyone was on the same page.
Does the money include the property taking? That's great.
It's just a permanent easement.
It's helping them out a lot because that's really dangerous because it was.
Great.
Sounds great.
What couldn't you do? You said you couldn't do anything, everything for the traffic. But what? So what?
Oh, because of the volume.
Well, you could add. I mean, what you'd have to do is take people's front yards and add more traveling.
Oh,
which I don't think is the best idea.
No.
There's a huge amount of volume that goes through that intersection at peak times.
So you've done what you could do without doing taking.
Yeah. I think it will get a little bit better. It'll be optimized and absolutely safer.
There are some left turn only lanes and they get,
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I mean,
the design is nice. I mean, it's a big, major transformation.
Yeah. It's a huge difference. I mean, right now you have a light to take a right, but if you're going to take a left with no visibility onto Devon Street, you're taking a right that's your right.
Terrific. So, have you counted increased traffic since the Kenrick Street bridge has been operational?
We have actually not done that.
Okay.
Because we talked to them, I testified of Wyatt a long time ago, and they had said that there would be less traffic on the Hampton Street.
Oh, yeah.
And we said, well, no, there won't, and your numbers are wrong. And if it's more, we're going to talk to you about remediation, so who knows. But I would love to, now that they're done, are they done with everything that we can't do yet?
No, they're still claiming that we'll see that reduction in traffic when the project's finalized. That's about another year.
Okay.
DOT mapped out, yes.
How can it, that doesn't make sense, because you would think that people would get used to, they would know that the Kenrick Street is open, and so you might avoid Needham Street.
Right.
Because it's a cut, it's sort of a shortcut, a long shortcut.
It's a great shortcut.
It was, okay.
Well, they committed to doing traffic counts again once the project's completed, so we'll have the true numbers. We will know
this. I didn't understand it, and I'm sure you do. There's a slide here that has crash rate.
Yes.
And I don't understand. It says 0.59 is must be what it is there.
Yeah.
And then you said the state average is 0.77.
Yeah, the two intersections are different. Carlton and Brookline.
Oh, so this is only for the one intersection.
Well, if you look at the bottom right, you have the second.
Oh, okay. 0.81. Got it.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
There were 22 crashes in...
It's
23
and
27
and 1 and
yeah,
so
it's
that's a lot. And in this case, the
primary
issue is vehicle
access. No one would be across the street, but we are making it safer.
Yeah,
across the street.
Great. So I can answer questions, but I think you've had all the information in your packet as well.
Yeah, I
am thrilled that this project is happening. I know you're sick of hearing this, but I was standing on that island with Bob Rooney. I know you've heard the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I'm thrilled.
So I am
happy.
Approval. I'm moving
it. I'm moving
it. Rightfully moved. Approval. All in favor. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You want to get rid of the last one?
We have to go back and do that. And I don't think, and you folks are welcome to stay if you don't need to.
Okay. You don't need John or any of us for the
peer review? I have to go back and do peer review, but the last item is an NAN. Because about 4 minutes for parking lot. we have a long way to go to figure out for next, by next year, how we might manage using the school municipal parking lots for buses or whatever. Let me read it into the record. Maybe you have something to say about it. It's 4615, Johnson and Ciccone requesting a discussion with the Commissioner of BCW and the School Department to determine discuss parking options, including use of school properties based on the current municipal parking lot programs, including the issuance of permits. Every other committee has voted no action necessary. So, and I guess I was linking this to recent conversations about the use of municipal property or school lots or whatever, say for bus storage, and that opened this huge can of worms that couldn't be solved in time for this year. So the city gave the school department more money to pay for the increased cost of bus, having the buses off-site, because they're experiencing increased parking costs. So I'm just linking that to this. It just begs the question for a much bigger, planful kind of discussion. So what we're looking at for this item, which is to NAN it at the moment, and rethink the docket item, I guess is what I want to say.
Okay. I'll move to NAN it.
Okay. Motion to NAN. All in favor? There we go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What was the point of this particular docket item?
Okay. I wonder why everybody in the NAM.
I don't know.
I think it came out of KSNC and Ward 1 saying they were going to continue to support the parking ban.
So then you need this to have the parking ban. It gives people a place to park at night.
Right. That was the point, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, the other two committees and left us with no information.
Well, if they jumped off the roof.
You know what? I'm actually not even sure why it's in our committee.
Because it's
municipal parking lot?
That's not ours.
That was safety,
I would say.
All right.
Well, we
so, folks, we have one more substantive item. I'm going to go back. Page 2, 3617, Councilor Crawford, Albright, and Lappin requesting an ordinance pursuant to the MGL Chapter 166, Section 22, and Section 44, Section 53, the adoption of which would enable the City Council to require peer review of grant application petitions, including proposed wireless communications equipment, attachments to poles or structures in the public way, public lands and petitioners' expense to assist the council in deciding requested grants of location. Very long document. And last time we met on this, there were specific suggestions made to Alan about how to amend the ordinance. You're all looking at it. We have two pages. We have a black line version and a clean version of the draft ordinance. It is based, if you remember, it's based on the Municipal Modernization Act requirements, and it's modeled on the special permit process that we use for peer review.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some specific things that people asked for, and I think they're really on the second page of the lines version, G and H. It was suggested to take out G. I think it was Mark who disagreed with that or whatever. This was legal stuff. So we kept it in. Failure of the applicant to pay the consultant fee within 14 days after notice shall be grounds for denial of application. And H was added. It's at a later time in the process regarding the subject application proposal. The council determines that additional funds are needed for outside consulting services. The council may provide written notice of said further and or additional needs for such funds in the same manner and subject to the same provisions and requirements as set out in paragraphs A through B above. And that, those were the changes that were requested.
can we have to decide on a reasonable fee? Do we have to set that?
What's the difference? You talked about it.
No, it's
this is that's
really?
We don't decide on we decide what's reasonable or it is discussed what's reasonable. The petitioner has the opportunity to protest a request, just like in land use.
Yeah.
So when we ask someone to
so
do
the
a
staff to figure out what they
right. Yeah.
And then they'll come to us for approval, right?
I don't know.
With special permits, they ask for a peer review of something.
Right.
It could even be something that is not normal for us,
okay.
Right? And then the staff just takes care of the petitioner agrees or they don't agree.
Yeah.
So the comments are going to go away then, right, in the final draft?
Yeah.
Okay, they're not going to be anymore. Okay.
So, anybody want a few more minutes to read through this?
Are these cities in time doing this now?
Yeah, because they can't. They wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, we really rarely ask for this, but
yeah.
In the event where there's, you know,
there are a lot of times we might, you know.
So hopefully we'll get our rules in order.
Do you want a motion?
Yes, please. Okay. All in favor? There we go.
Well, this is going to be a long
day. Yeah.
Yeah, you told us long. It's just fun.
So this doesn't go to finance because we're not
status. This is a very preliminary.